Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I had somebody reach out to me about 2 weeks ago. That somebody was Matt Swope. Matt is the head baseball coach at the University of Maryland. Matt said, who, and he's a listener to the show, he said, you know who'd be great at film breakdown, almost like Cooley, is Steve Suter. You should ask him to do it. Steve Suter is a part of the Maryland football radio broadcast team. He and Johnny Holiday call the games. Steve's really good. I've had him on the show many times to talk Terps football, and he's a very good analyst. He's also fearless. He's far from a homer, and he's really good at analyzing football, and he is a big football fan and a lifelong Washington fan as well, although admittedly he's lost some of that passion in recent years, like a lot of us have, but he's back into it again with the results last year. So I asked him if he'd take a swing at breaking down the film from the All-22 and see how it went. He was on my podcast yesterday. He was so good. I'm going to play a portion of that for you right now, about 15 minutes, the very beginning of it, where he gives you kind of the whole layout of the game. He did get into grading players, and you know, we can talk about that, and you can listen to it on my podcast, but I wanted you to hear Steve. He's really good. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it every week. It's a lot of work. Cooley used to tell me, he's like, it's basically an all-day thing if you're going to really do it right, you know, breaking down every play, every player on every play. But it started off yesterday on my podcast with me just getting his reaction after watching the All-22 of the loss in Green Bay.
So watching it on the broadcast first, obviously, you get those normal impressions as you're watching the game. And I would say you either validate those watching the All-22 or sometimes that can change your mind. So I would say watch it on the broadcast. They just looked like they were outmatched, Washington, in all phases, offensively, defensively, and coaching. I had some question marks going in. I prepared, obviously. I watched the Giants game. Then I watched the Packers play the Lions. And what I got off of that was, wow, the Giants were very vanilla on defense. And I'm talking very vanilla. You saw cover three or you saw man coverage, and it was easy and obvious, and there was no extracurricular stuff in the secondary where they're making disguises and being extravagant and that nature. And so from that standpoint, they got probably 75% man coverage from the Giants. Very vanilla. Then I watched the Packers versus the Lions. Total opposite. A lot of zone and very detailed in the back end secondary and very extravagant, showing a lot of different shells. If they looked like they were in cover three, they weren't going to end up in cover three. It was a lot of rolling into different coverages. My thoughts were, too, going into the game. Is that because they're doing that because Jared Goff is a pocket passer and they're trying to make that picture at the back end different on the post-snap? And is the Giants, conversely, being very vanilla on defense because they're worried about keeping Jaden in the pocket? So those were things I was trying to pay attention to watching the game. Now, what happened was what the Packers did to the Lions. They were just very creative at the back end. They gave Jaden Daniels a lot of different pictures and everybody on offense, a lot of zone, almost no man coverage. A couple times they did, they brought pressure, they were successful. So now then you go into the All-22. I was very disappointed, I think, from the coach's standpoint. Cliff Kingsbury just didn't seem prepared, in my opinion, because it was obvious what type of coverages they were going to run watching the line. So I'm not saying it's easy to decode the coverage live during the game, but you should have gone to that game, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, with 10 to 12 zone beaters for cover two and for cover three, because that's what you were going to see from the Packers. And then it was up to Jaden and the offense to decipher them. So they weren't prepared. I don't think so. The game plan wasn't good offensively. Defensively, they were very stale. They ran a lot of man coverage and way too easy to decipher for Jordan Love and the Packers. You could see during the game, they started bringing a lot of motion from the receivers, and in the corners, you know, Lattimore and the other guys from Washington are following them across the formation. Well, that's an easy tell that you're in man coverage. And once they were given that look to Jordan Love, it was easy pickings. So there's a lot of guys running open, and it's because the matchups of man coverage, the secondary of the Commanders, they weren't switching correctly. Sometimes they would switch, or what we would call banjo. So one guy's going to take the outside guy, the other guy's going to take the inside guy. Sometimes they tried to stay locked in on their guy, but the communication on the back end wasn't good. So they were messing that up occasionally, and when they were, Jordan Love was making them pay. What I took out from watching the All-22, Jordan Love is top-tier quarterback. Every mistake that the Commanders made on defense, and particularly one person or two who made a mistake each play, Jordan Love found it and capitalized on it. A lot of the big plays to Kraft were because the secondary were miscommunicating, and those little mistakes, Jordan Love found them and took care of them.
I think I'm curious first to ask you about the offense of side of the ball, where, you know, you talked about Detroit basically, you know, faced a Green Bay team that was heavy zone, and Cliff Kingsbury should have had more zone beaters against cover two and cover three in particular. How much of that was obvious that they weren't running stuff to beat zone versus the pass rush was very effective and they weren't able to get to it?
So, yeah, it's real easy for the defensive coordinator for the Packers right now, I think it's Halfley.
Yeah.
He's getting pressure without bringing pressure. And the best defenses every year in any level of football are the defense that can get pressure with the front four and they can drop seven in coverage. So he has that luxury, and I think it's probably going to be his game plan for the entire season is to call his base defense, and I say base in air quotes because it's very complex in the back end, but up front it's only usually four people coming. And if he can continue all year going into each game getting pressure with his front four, then there's no reason to change. Every third down or so, he'll switch it up and he's going to bring some pressure because you're not expecting it because you're getting zoned. So he's going to have that luxury. The games where he's not getting pressure with the front four, he's going to have to change up. So what was successful for him is early on, he's calling these zone plays and he's having the secondary change and roll coverage and his front four is getting pressure. So, he doesn't even have to think, right? His game plan's working, stay the course, because Jaden Daniels isn't going to have enough time. So I'll use a specific example. They had this one coverage. It's really, really intricate. It looks like cover three. You got a deep middle safety, and they ran this against the Lions. I highlighted it because I even said there's no way that anybody can read this coverage correctly. It's just so intricate. Well, the deep middle third safety on the snap of the ball, he bolts down and becomes essentially a linebacker, and he's playing a curl zone there. And the two corners who you think are playing deep third, they turn into the two safeties, and they play the cover two safety. And so now they still have a cover two shell, but they're doing it from a really odd look. And I just think it's really difficult to read. So they did it against the Lions. It was successful. It gave Goff some problems. They never really completed the pass. Well, they did it on the first third down against Washington. So it turned out to be any time it was like third and eight or long, they were calling this play. So they did the first third down, and Jaden and them couldn't decipher it. They didn't have a play to beat it. They got pressure from the front four, and so you get an incomplete pass, and you got to punt the football. The second possession, third and seven and long again, they ran the same inverted cover two, the same look. You would have think Kingsbury would call a play to think it's coming and have a beater for it. They didn't. That's another three and out. So they didn't have an answer for that coverage. One way to attack it, because essentially it's a cover two, is you can either attack it with depth, like you stretch it. We're taking four verticals, or we're taking four people deep, and we're going to try to isolate those safeties that have to try to cover four. But to do that, you need time for those routes to develop.
Right.
And what didn't they have? The Commanders, they didn't have the time. The front four is getting pressure. You know, it wasn't, you don't need a rocket science for me to tell you, you know, Micah Parsons was causing problems every time he was on the field and everywhere he lined up. He was essentially, if not beating the Commanders' offensive line, he was getting pressure. So just not prepared from that standpoint. And then that type of thing just weighs on a quarterback. And I think during the course of the game, Jaden started just losing trust in his reads, losing trust reading the defense down the field, and then his play clock, his pocket clock was getting shorter and shorter because he didn't trust the offensive line to have protection. All those things add up, and then you go to an offense that's not effective and your quarterback's not reading the field correctly, and if he has a window, if he gets some, usually only one guy game, and he just couldn't find him. And like, particularly the second, like, second possession, I want to say it was, and the second play, Commanders go max protection, and they run a deep core, a deep comeback to McCullen, to Terry. It's a 18-yard comeback, and they're in max protection. There's only two people going on the route, so this ball is supposed to go to Terry. And Terry's open, and Jaden's looking at him, and for whatever reason, just dumps it off to Eckler on a check down. He just gives up on the play. So that right away was like, oh, man, Jaden's, he's not seeing the field right, because this play was called to go there. We are blocking everybody to make sure we can get protection to send the ball over there, and he still didn't throw it, and he was open.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a red flag. So you could just tell from that point on, he wasn't comfortable in the pocket, didn't trust the plays. I agree with him. I didn't like the route concepts that I saw for most of the game. Just weren't in positions to be successful. And then the players on the outside, I mean, I'll be hard on the perimeter guys. You know, Zach Ertz, he looks rough out there at this age. I mean, he's been a great player for so long, but he just, I know he was the leading receiver, too, and it's funny for me to say that, but other than the touchdown where he looked a little spry on his cut right after he caught the ball and got some yak and got in the end zone, not really an option for most of the game for Jaden. Terry, not really an option for him most of the game, wasn't winning on man coverage. The zone routes he was on was either like a five-yard curl, or he was running a deep corner and he just isn't getting down the field to stretch it. So really a perfect storm for the Commanders on offense, and then the offensive line didn't give him any help. We can get to that specifically, but Connerly was, he had a rough night. Almost 80% of the time, almost every time Micah lined up on him, he beat him, even if he didn't make the play. He was getting beat on his up and under routinely throughout the night. Gary got him on it as well. When they tried to help him with chips, they didn't work. Sometimes they chipped him and it made it worse, or Mike was splitting the double team anyway. Tunsil had a rough time on the edge too as well. Those are my two lowest graded players on offense. It was Connerly by far, and then Tunsil was second there. Offensively, just didn't give him time. You can't let four-man rushes just beat you. Right. If that's the case, you're not going to win. You gotta be able to block against four-man rush.
We'll get to the grades in the next segment, but I have to ask you, why didn't Cliff Kingsbury even attempt to run the football with their rookie running back Krosky Merritt? You know, his nickname, he wants to be called Bill Krosky Merritt. Why didn't they try to run the football more?
I couldn't answer that question because it didn't make sense to me. And what I wrote down, and I was texting a buddy of mine while I was watching the game live, I said, why has it, they did not call a draw for Daniels until the last play of the third quarter. And maybe you just take him for granted that Jaden's going to get you some rushing yards as a quarterback when he scrambles, and you count those as, you know, running plays for your quarterback. But that wasn't the case, and I was disappointed. When you're struggling to move the football and you've got a four-man rush, a draw is a good call, a quarterback draw, especially with Jaden Daniels. The guy can't run, right? Because you're going to have the linebackers are already bailing. You know they're not blitzing because you're only going to have the four-down linemen, and two of those guys are going to be able to get up to the second level. Utilize Jaden Daniels in the run game. Or you can call a draw as well and hand it off to Bill, like you mentioned. The draws work against those coverages when you have guys all line up on the line of scrimmage. They're trying to fake you out like we're bringing pressure, and then everybody bails, and we're only bringing four. Well, it's an easier job to get to the second level. So don't make the runs obvious, and you're in your 12, 13 personnel, and you're trying to load the box, and you're doing that zone read stuff. They didn't do the zone read effective either, in my opinion. Every person that they left unblocked for the Packers defense, when they left them unblocked, made the play. So the first zone read, they left Van Dyce They left him to the zone read. Yeah, he just knifes down and tackles Eckler. He didn't care about Jaden pulling the ball at all because it probably wasn't his responsibility. They got a linebacker ready for him. They don't block Gary, and next time they do a zone read and comes down the line and makes the tackle. And there's another occasion they're doing the zone read. They unblock the defender, and they make the play. So you need to have a better line. The Packers' defense didn't respect Jaden Daniels as a runner for this game, and it could have been their game plan going in, saying we're going to play him straight up like he's a normal quarterback that can't scramble, and if he burns us maybe once or twice, then we might make an adjustment. But he never did, so they didn't have to make any adjustments. So it's, again, another easy game for Jeff Hafley to call because the Commanders didn't do any dynamic to make him have to, you know, go outside of what he wanted to do.
You know, you just brought up something that I talked about after the game, and it's funny because I think he had some issues with this last week against the Giants and a couple of times last year. It's been very hard to find anything super critical, you know, constructively critical on Jaden over his first, you know, 22 NFL games. But the zone read they ran early in the first quarter where, as you said, N crashed down, didn't play Jaden at all. I thought it was very obvious that Jaden made the wrong decision. You got to pull that on that play, right?
Agreed. Yeah. So I write down, you know, that's my note. I watch the play, and you say he's got to pull that. But, you know, I'm not in the huddle. You assume, and you assume it was a zone read, but that's not always the case.
Right.
And sometimes it is always a handoff.
Right.
Maybe he's not reading that. But, and I only say that because I'm pretty sure it was Zach Ertz who was to the left who was blocking. So if he pulled it, Zach Ertz was there to block the DN, not Van Ness, but the other DN. So that's why I thought it's the zone read, because he still has a blocker out there for in case he pulls it. So I agree. That was a pull all the way. Van Ness didn't care about Jaden, and I think that's, again, that just reiterated my thought, right? That was their game plan going in, and the Packers, we're not going to respect him as a runner until he beats us. So, yes, Jaden probably made the mistake there, should have pulled, and, you know, maybe they just stopped calling it out.
That was Steve Suter doing a film breakdown. There was a lot more to it. You can hear it on my podcast. He was very, very critical of the play calling, the game plan, the readiness of Kingsbury in the offense, and he really got after Joe Witt Jr. in the defensive game plan as well. And, you know, netting it out, he came away very impressed with the Packers, Jordan Love in particular. But pretty good at doing this, and he gets into the players in more detail and grades them out, grades Jaden's performance, which he said was not very good, but he didn't get much help anywhere also. All right, that segment with Steve is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Football Talk is presented by Paramount Plus on this show. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.